Morning.
Morning.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Hope everybody's great. We want to welcome everybody to today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. We are going to go ahead and get started with the business of the day. And first, Secretary Gonsalves, good morning, and it's great to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you, Governor, and good to see you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 9 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. However, at the request of Baltimore City Community College, I am withdrawing item 3. At the request of Morgan State University, I am withdrawing item 8, leaving 7 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning for your consideration. Happy to assist with answering any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
No discussion.
Okay. And is there a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Secretary. Thank you. We'll proceed with our Department of Natural Resource agenda. Secretary Kurtz, good morning. Good to see you.
Morning, sir. Good morning, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. It's a pleasure to be here today. For the record, my name is Josh Kurtz. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The Department is presenting 7 items for your consideration today, and I'm here, and so is my team, to answer any questions you may have.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda?
Not for me.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks, Mr. Secretary. Now we're going to the University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning. Good to see you.
Okay. Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. Tom Hickey representing the University System of Maryland. There are 5 items on the agenda this morning. We are withdrawing item 4S. To answer any questions.
Okay, great. Is there any discussion around the USM agenda?
No real discussion. I'll just note it's nice to see that 8 of the firms in 3C are MBEs.
Is there a motion to approve the USM agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Outstanding.
Thank you very much.
Great to see you, Mr. Hickey. Now we'll go on to the MDOT agenda. Mr. Domsky, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 7 agenda items for your consideration. We're seeking approval of 1 contract awarded to a certified small business enterprise. We have representatives to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you. Is there any comments or discussion around the MDOT agenda?
Can I just ask, Mr. Domsky, why isn't DGS agenda the retroactive for MTA, MJ Management Services? Why isn't that part of the MDOT agenda?
So the replacement contract will be.
Oh, okay.
It's always been. It was previously on the DBM agenda.
Oh, okay.
DGS took over procurement for services and IT in 2019.
Okay.
And DGS has delegated it back to us as a transportation-related service.
Okay. Thanks.
Welcome.
Any other discussion around the MDOT agenda?
No.
Is there a motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Thompson. And next, we will conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Chaudhry, I also want to say, we've been going around into all of our departments. A few weeks back, we were over at DNR with Secretary Kurtz and had a great visit. And Secretary Chaudhry, just want to say, truly outstanding work. The visit with all the employees from DGS and watching their high praise of the work that you're doing there was spectacular to see. So good morning and thanks again.
Morning. Thank you, Mr. Governor. Appreciate it, and we really appreciate you coming out to support the troops here at DGS. It was really, really greatly appreciated by everyone and greatly attended. So thank you, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, for the record, I am the Chief Charter Secretary of Maryland Department of General Services. Today, we are presenting 36 items in our agenda. We are throwing 2 items, item 16S as well as item 34LT, 16S and 34LT. Our agenda does feature over $1.9 million in capital grants and loans. I did want to highlight 1 item, and that is item 10 CGL. It does provide $200,000 in state support to the Bay District Volunteer Fire Department in St. Mary's County to install a ground mount solar power system, which will provide 100% of the electricity for 2 separate stations, one in California and 1 in Lexington Park, which will eliminate a large portion of the department's carbon footprint. At management continue to keep an eye on minority business participation in our contracting. Our agenda does include four contract awards and modifications to certified MBEs totaling more than $5.8 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. And I'd actually also personally want to highlight item 9, CGL, which is a $250,000 grant to the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad. I want to highlight it from a personal position of thanks, too, because my family and I had a chance to go and visit the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad and over the holidays. And so my wife and our daughter, Mia, and our son, James, all had the fantastic opportunity to go out and ride the railroad, ride the Polar Express, which was a magical experience that all wish to share. I'd say it was really special because I got a chance to not just hang out with some good friends, a few of whom are here and I want to introduce, but also sit on Santa Claus's lap and make wishes for the year. And I say it's either that Santa Claus was either Senator McKay or Santa Claus has some very distinct opinions about medical cannabis. but we also do have some distinguished guests here, and I'm seeing over there. It's great to see we have here my friend Mayor Ray Morris and also Executive Director Wes Hines, who were exceedingly generous with the hospitality towards me and my family. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And just how much that means and how much it just continues to mean. So I know we have Mayor Morris and also our friend Mayor Flanagan who are here from Frostburg. And so I'd love to be able to welcome you both, here to Annapolis and say thanks again and welcome to come up, and share a few words if you would like as well.
Well, I'll let you do the
time. Oh, very good. Thank you. Governor, very good to see you this morning.
Great to see you, Tim. Thank you.
Pleasure. I know I was unable to be with you that fine day, but I knew exactly what happened because I got to talk to Santa. Kids are very well behaved, and as always, we always say welcome to the most beautiful part of Maryland, the mountains of Maryland. So we're really glad we were able to host you all. Look forward to doing it again. Hope we can make that an annual thing.
Absolutely.
Come back out and see us in the spring when the leaves start to get on the trees and it's
right.
Pretty. We'd have promised you snow, but Santa didn't deliver much snow this year. But again, we'd love to say
but all the things that I asked for, he delivered. So it was great.
Yep.
It was great.
And you were on the good list.
That's right.
We made sure of that. Because again,
thank you.
There you go.
So again,
but I really do appreciate. We really appreciate the state's help over the past many years. I've been on the board. I'm the chair of the board. Been on since 13. Last year, again with your help and the kind help of the legislature, not only were financially put in a better position post COVID, but we broke every record in 35 years. Mm-hmm. More people last year than railroads ever hauled in a single season, and I think they all, like yourself and your family, got off with big smiles. I was very, very happy. So we really appreciate all your help.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Okay. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm not going to say anything other than the governor looks great in pajamas. I'd everybody to come out and enjoy the Polar Express and the whole season. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mayor. And also, please tell Wes that I said hello to. The executive director is right. The executive director, Wes Hines, I'm saying every time they were calling, they're like, "Hey, Wes," so I kept on turning my head. No, the other one. But sincerely, bless you all, and thank you so much again. Thank you. And I'd also like to very quickly also mention item 36 LT, which is something that we're incredibly excited about. It's a leasing. And it's actually going to be a leasing for the Department of Service and Civic Innovation. And this is going to be the location, newly built out, it's going to serve as a field office for participants in the service year, in Maryland Corps for both Montgomery and Prince George's County. So, we're really proud of these folks who have just raised their hands to serve. And we're really proud of the new digs that they now have, thanks to 36 LT. So, With that, I wanted to also yield to the comptroller for a few items on the agenda as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Governor. Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for being here and highlighting 10 CGL. It's an exciting project, and I want to acknowledge and extend appreciation to Delegate Brian Crosby for submitting a letter of support for the project and sponsoring the bond initiative last year. I also want to turn to DGS Agenda Item 19S. Because I think this is an important step for the state. This is a request to award three firms a contract to develop decarbonization plans for state-owned buildings and facilities. And these plans are necessary in order to meet our state's climate goals. They'll help the state of Maryland transition our buildings to efficient, clean, and cost-saving electricity in order to meet those climate goals. Just think this is a huge step forward. We pass important legislation, and then it actually has to be implemented, and so this is one of those steps towards implementing that. So I want to thank the DGS Office of Energy and Sustainability for their efforts to get to this point. There's a lot more work to do, but we keep moving forward, which is exciting. I also wanted to ask if Secretary Lopez could just if you could talk about item 20S mod for a moment. Thank you. Thanks so much, Secretary Lopez. And I just want to start by saying I appreciate how responsive you have been and for including us in your ongoing challenges and opportunities to improve all the work that you are doing and that our state is doing for our youth and for our young people. And I know you inherited a really challenging situation, and you brought in a fellow advocate on this issue, Kirill Resnick, and I know you're all working diligently, but I think it's important every once in a while for you to update us on the placement of Maryland youth in out-of-state facilities for receiving care. So thank you for letting us know how things are going.
Happy to do so.
Good morning, Governor Moore, Controller Lerman, and Treasurer Davis. For the record, my name is Rafael Lopez, and I have the pleasure of serving as your Secretary of Human Services. We have one item on the agenda that you've pulled, and happy to talk a bit more in context. In the interest of confidentiality, I won't go into the details of the individual cases, but we'll frame up the cases in the context of the work we're doing to transform Maryland's child welfare system and give some additional context.
Great.
So first of all, in the context of the item before you today, there are currently 5 Maryland youth at Sandy Pines. 2 youth were placed via the sole source contract beginning the 1st of December of 2021. A third youth was placed November 20th of 2023, and the original reason for that contract modification to the board was presented to you. The 2 youth before you today make up the additional 3 youth, so that's how we get to this contract in particular. For context, as of the 26th of February, there are 3,781 children in all of Maryland's child welfare system. Of that total, 26 youth are currently in out-of-state placements. I give those 2 as reference, because obviously one child out of state is one too many. It is 26 of the total, but I want to make sure we're clear about. We've been discussing these challenges and changes, as you know, with the legislature during this budget season, and talking about how we want to leverage the work of the governor's investment in the budget to talk about transforming a new era of child welfare in the state. So I want to highlight 8 of the issues that are part of this larger effort to address out-of-state placements writ large, because there's no one lever that will change all of this. First of all, the budget that the governor's proposed includes some significant investments to make up for some lost time at the Department of Human Services. First, we're looking at implementing the Federal Family First Prevention Services Act in Maryland. Second, ending the practice of youth aging out of foster care in Maryland. Third, creating a kin-first culture. Fourth, reforming how Maryland compensates its care providers across the state. Fifth, addressing hospital overstays statuses. Sixth, addressing hotel stays. 7th, course-correcting MD Think, and 8th, rebuilding state government, reducing vacancies. And I want to speak to a few of those because I think it'll give you, Madam Controller, the Governor and the Treasurer, a better sense of how this money is spent. So ultimately, we want to reduce unnecessary removals and leverage all federal dollars to do this strategically and to do it based on science and the data. We also want to make sure that we're committed to providing Marylanders with family-centered, child-focused, and community-based services that promote safety and child well-being and strengthens their families. For many years, DHS did not draw down millions of federal dollars. In fact, early in this administration, we learned
that since 2018, when the Family First Prevention Services Act authorized states across this country to use federal uncapped entitlement funds for time-limited foster care prevention services, this state did not seize a day and has not drawn down one single federal dollar for prevention services. $0. That's in spite of having an approved plan. So we estimate that nearly $10 million in federal Title 40 funding to prevent foster care was simply left on the table on behalf of Maryland's children, youth, and families. And we are racing the clock to course correct that. We partnered with the Annie Casey Foundation, with Casey Family Programs, to actually help us rebuild the internal infrastructure and architecture of our department to be able to legitimately draw down additional federal funds to augment the investment of state general fund dollars to make sure we're providing prevention services to all of our families, ultimately having them not come into care. This is just the first step that we're taking in making sure that we're being much more responsible about this. And specifically on the issue of addressing out-of-home placements, out-of-state placements, the state of Maryland, about over a decade ago, made a choice to bring more of Maryland's children home. That was a fantastic choice. At the same time, however, the investment to build a statewide continuum of care across our 24 jurisdictions so that kids don't have to be placed too far away from their families, causing additional trauma for them and their families to visit them, was not done in Maryland. So we're trying to catch up on that right now. To do that, we're working to create resources as outlined in the Family First Prevention Services Act, specifically to increase the number of qualified residential treatment programs, or what's known as QRTPs in the state of Maryland. Specifically, there are only 6 providers with QRTP status in the state of Maryland. We are working with providers now to add 2 more providers over the next year. We are also providing technical assistance to another 7 providers to help them get designated. What's fascinating to us is that as we learned about the pattern and practice over the last couple of years, ultimately, to draw down any dollar from the federal government, we need to make sure we're having the most highly skilled, highly qualified providers in order to draw down federal money for the future of Maryland and through the future of the country. So that is an opportunity that we're jumping into immediately. For more than a decade, Maryland has steadily and dramatically reduced the number of children in out-of-home care. Youth requiring out-of-home care often present with more complex symptoms and critical needs, as you see on your agenda, ranging from mental health issues to behavioral health issues and clinical needs. Our providers are sometimes not equipped in this state to address those needs. And specifically, in order to leverage federal funds, the governor's proposed 2025 budget includes a historic $26.7 million investment for rate setting and rate reform for child placement providers. This has been a stalled debate for well over 14 years in Maryland, and in less than 1 year, our team came in, worked with providers, convened them for the first time over almost 4 years, and said we're moving forward and are proposing a set of regulations to transform that part of the system. We are working right now with the General Assembly to propose new regulations to take effect by this summer, and the first since the 1990s. So Maryland has not quite kept up the pace in setting the tone and pace around what we expect and how we serve our children. That addresses how providers are paid, how they're compensated for their work, and ultimately provide quality care for children. And though we discovered it has not been done previously, we are being very deliberate in this administration to track every current provider and their contract. I shouldn't have to say that publicly, but it's in fact an issue. Many of our contracts don't have the right kinds of metrics to hold ourselves, the departments, our providers, and our state accountable for movement and action, including a no-eject or reject policy for our kids when there are vacant beds. That had not been done prior to coming to this office and understanding this. So we were asking questions on why sometimes our providers will refuse kids in this state. No one case is easy, so I'm absolutely not blaming anybody on the record or any providers, but it's a system of accountability for all of us. If someone is being paid by the state of Maryland, they have an empty bed. It's a 13-year-old girl named Brooke Lehrman, and she can qualify. Why aren't you taking 13-year-old Brooke Lehrman into that residential facility in the state of Maryland and not out to Florida or West Virginia?
Okay.
From what we understand, this is the first time in a very long time that this has been happening at the department in terms of contract management. We're doing this to ensure that Maryland's children, youth, and families stay in, the children and youth stay in state as long as possible in the least restrictive setting, in a community-based setting, and it will take us some time to turn that around, even though we've made some progress. With that said, we're doing this in partnership with Secretary Harris Scott and the Department of Health, with Secretary Schiraldi and the Department of Juvenile Services, and many of our other sister agencies who work to serve children and families to provide true continuum of care for the state of Maryland. With that said, I'm happy to take any other questions.
No, that was very helpful. I appreciate you laying out the system, and I appreciate the ongoing dialogue we've been having. When the secretary first joined, I said, by the way, I had a bill about this. I'd like to keep updated on it. And so really appreciate you continuing to talk to us and appreciate the challenges that you have and that you're working diligently to address them. And it's both appalling to hear that we were leaving federal money on the table, but I'm glad that you've identified that and are working to make sure that we can secure it. So thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments or? Okay. Wonderful. May I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. All right. That concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. Our next meeting is Wednesday, March 13th. Hope all is well, and congratulations to all, and getting through February successfully. See you all.
Thanks.